tonight, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows, the one who came from heaven's delight, who came from the glory on high into this world so filled with sin and sorrow in order that he might save me, in order that he might save your soul tonight. What a wonderful Savior. I hope tonight that before you leave this room that each one could join in this last line of the hymn and say, Hallelujah, what a Savior. He can be your Savior tonight. That's what the gospel's about, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for sinners. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I know there's many in this room tonight who would echo that, those words from their very heart. Praise the Lord, what a Savior. Does he mean anything to you tonight? Oh, I trust by the grace of God, he'll mean much to you tonight before you leave this room. What a Savior. We sometimes sing another hymn. I think it's in the sheet. Won't sing it now. It says, Oh, what a Savior that he died for me. From condemnation he has set me free. Do you know that Savior? Hope you'll come to know him tonight. Let's sing another hymn, number 19 on the hymn sheet. Oh, Christ in thee, my soul is found, and found in thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus found in thee. And I hope you'll be able to sing this hymn from your heart. If not now, before you leave this room tonight. Oh, Christ in me, my Lord. God has given us this precious book. And the Bible itself declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How thankful I am that we have in our hands the Word of God. And that God has blessed it to the hearts of many here tonight. God's precious Word. In the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, God has given us many illustrations, stories that are true and stories that illustrate to our hearts something of the love of the Lord Jesus. We get the facts about him coming into this world to save sinners, his coming into the being born in Bethlehem's manger and living in this world and going to the cross. We get those in the New Testament. The wondrous story of his love. But I'd like to turn, first of all, tonight to a story in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 22. I sometimes call this little portion the three D's. The three D's, and you'll see what I mean as we read it. It's about David, and in this story, I believe David is a picture to our hearts of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. David was anointed king by God. He was a man after God's own heart, chosen of God, and he's a picture to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Anointed One of God, the Eternal Son. Let's read a few verses here. Chapter 22 of 1 Samuel. And David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. We'll just read that much for just now. David was the anointed king, but he was in rejection. He was hated by King Saul, who was a man of men's choice, a goodly man, as far as men's eyes. He was head and shoulders above all the rest. He was a politician. But God's man was David. And a few chapters before this, David had come into the camp of Israel when there was great distress. There was this giant Goliath. I think most of us know the story. And all of Israel were afraid of that giant Philistine Goliath. None dared to meet the giant who challenged them, who put them in fear and trembling. But David, in the strength of God, went into the valley and met that awful giant and dispatched of him, slew him. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ has come from heaven into this valley of sin and shame and guilt in this world, and he's gone to Calvary's cruel cross to deliver us, to save us from our sins, to deliver us through fear of death for all our lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. Well, David was rejected. You know, this world has rejected the Lord of glory. Thank God many have received him as their Savior. But generally speaking, this world is still without Christ, without God, and without hope. And perhaps that's where you are tonight. Still without Christ. If you're still without Christ tonight, the gospel is for you, God's loving invitation. Yes, the Lord Jesus may be rejected. It may not be popular to own Jesus as Lord, but you know the Word of God tells us that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved. Oh, sometimes people say to me, we don't use that word saved. We don't believe in it. Dear friend, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Saved from hell and saved for heaven. You need to be saved from your sins. Well, David was rejected, but there were some who sought out David. David was hiding now in the cave of Adullam. And There were three kinds that are mentioned here who sought out David and found him. And he became their captain. He became their Lord. Oh, what a change it must have meant in their lives. What kind of people were they? Everyone that was in distress. Everyone that was in distress. Now, you may be here tonight and think, oh, I'm not in distress. I've lived a pretty good life. Things are going pretty good. But I pray tonight that you'll realize down in your very heart of hearts that if you're still in your sins, it's a distressing situation. Because, dear friends, unless your sins are washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, you're on your way to hell. You're on your way to a lost eternity, but oh, God loves you. God wants you to feel tonight the burden of those sins, because He wants to invite you. He longs, He pleads with your soul to come and have that burden taken away. He died for your sins. Will you come believing? That's what He wants. All that were in distress certainly don't want to wish anything bad on somebody, but if you're sitting complacently tonight and you've never personally received the Lord Jesus, oh, that you would feel the distress of your condition before God, lost in your sins, lost. You know, the devil wants you to go on and never think of the seriousness of eternity. He wants you to go on in ease and pleasure. He has a thousand things in this world to keep your mind from eternity, to keep your mind from the reality of life and death. Oh, that you might feel like these men that were distressed. Did they find relief for their distress? Yes, they did. They came to David. Oh, I can assure you, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you'll find relief. He'll take the burden of sin. He paid the price at Calvary's cross that my sins and yours might be forgiven and washed in His precious blood. Dear friend, tonight, won't you come to the Lord Jesus? Like these men in distress that came to David and found in Him the source of blessing. Oh, they didn't find in David the riches of this world and a popular place and a position with a good salary. They found themselves, yes, in a cave, but oh, they found themselves in the company of God's man. They found themselves in the presence, in the company of the Lord. And that's where you can be found tonight. He's calling. He says to you tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, sometimes we need to be stirred up. We don't feel that burden. We've been fooling ourselves into thinking that everything is okay. Perhaps you were brought up in a Christian home. Perhaps you've been coming to the meetings all your life. Have you ever felt the burden of your sin? Have you ever felt your need of a Savior? Oh, I trust you have. And if not, may you feel that burn tonight. I remember as a young boy coming to gospel meetings like this, hearing faithful men like Albert Hale and Mr. Wakefield and others preach the gospel faithfully. And I remember thinking, oh, am I saved or am I lost? Wondering, where I stood, not knowing, feeling that distress of not really knowing whether I was saved on the way to heaven or lost and on the way to hell. I remember going home, getting on my knees and saying, Lord Jesus, if I'm not saved yet, I want to be saved right now. I want to be sure. God wants you to be sure tonight. If you have one doubt in your mind that you belong to the Lord, if you have a doubt, a fear that perhaps you've never personally received the Lord Jesus, don't talk yourself out of it. Get on your knees and tell the Lord all about it. Oh, He wants to give you assurance of salvation. Don't stifle those thoughts, those fears. If you feel a distress of heart tonight, because you know there's torment in fear, in doubt, there's no peace in doubt. If you are doubting tonight, if you're wondering tonight, you know, perhaps you're saying, well, I've heard the gospel all my life. I don't know if I'm saved or not. Don't neglect. Don't put it off. Trust Christ tonight. Be sure that your sins are gone and that you're on the way to heaven. You know, if you're saved, God has done the work, and it's a perfect work. You'll never be lost. Never be lost. But you know, I don't like to stand here tonight and tell you, well, you were saved when you were a youngster, probably in Sunday school, so you can't be lost. You're all right. Everything's okay. Oh, if you feel tonight a pang in your soul of uncertainty, come to Christ tonight. Don't say, oh, well, I think everything's okay. Be sure. Be sure. God wants you to be sure. He wants you to know for sure that you have eternal life. These things have I written unto you, He says, that ye might know that ye have eternal life. I've said to visiting some, I've said, you know, do you know where you're going? Are you going to heaven to be with the Lord? And the answer is, I hope so. I hope so. Are you content just to hope that somehow when you leave this world, everything is going to be okay? God wants you to know. God wants you to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He's able. Do you know you're saved? Don't just hope so. You can know for sure, because it doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on your good life. It depends on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. He died for sinners. He died for you. He died for me, thank God, that I can say with the hymn writer, oh, what a Savior, Jesus the Lord, my Savior. He wants to be your Savior. Well, those that came in 1 Samuel 22, first of all, was those in distress. Oh, there's relief for that distress. May your heart find tonight that blessed peace that comes from trusting the Lord Jesus, from casting all your sins, your burdens on Him, for He died for you. He paid the price that those sins might be gone. Well, that wasn't the only kind. Those that were in distress and everyone that was in debt, everyone that was in debt. Now I can tell you, if you're still in your sins, you're in debt. You're indebted to God. For sin robbed God. Sin has robbed God. You know, when God put man in this world, there in the Garden of Eden, He wanted to have fellowship with man. He came into the garden, it says, in the cool of the day. His desire was that he might have fellowship with his creature that he'd made. But sin had come in. Sin had come in and robbed God of what was his due. Had robbed God. So Adam and Eve were in debt, weren't they? And if you're still in your sins, you're in debt. Oh, what a debt we owe. We don't know the half of what we owe, and we can't pay it. The Lord Jesus, when he was here, he tells of a man who owed 10,000 talents, and he had nothing to pay. Nothing to pay. And that's your case and mine. Nothing to pay. There's not a good work. There's not a thing we can do to pay that debt. But oh, thank God, it was paid in full when the Lord Jesus at Calvary's cross said, "It is finished." And his precious blood was flowed from his spear-pierced side to pay the debt I owed. You received him. Those that were in debt came to David, and they found that forgiveness. They found that blessing. They found that peace that they needed and desired and longed for. And you can have that peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to have peace with God, you know, through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be laboring and trying to be at peace with God, but you'll never have peace outside of the work of the Lord Jesus for you on Calvary's cross. Some years ago now, I was preaching the gospel down on the south coast of Newfoundland, little towns where there's no roads, you have to go by boat, and people didn't get many visitors, still don't, less in those days. And there I met a young man. He'd come down on the coastal boat, and he was staying in little town of Lapoil. And he carried a big pack on his back, and he slept outdoors or inside a church building there if it rained. And he ate very strangely. I didn't get a chance to have a visit with him, though, and I always wondered what this young man really was doing, what he was seeking. He seemed discontent. He was telling the people there, you know, that, well, they shouldn't kill the fish. Of course, that was their living for hundreds of years in those places, and so on. He had some strange ideas, but I'm sorry I never got a chance to visit with him then, but a short time later, I was on the train. We were going to Halifax, I think, or somewhere on the train. And right across from the aisle was this very young man. And I was kind of observing him. My wife was with me. And I saw him get up and go up to the conductor on the train and said, is there any charge for a bowl of hot water, sir? The conductor looked at him and said, yes, sir. So he went and sat back down. And by, he got up again, and he went up to the conductor. He says, is it charged for the bowl or for the water? And the conductor thought for a minute, and he said, for the bowl. So he went back to his seat, and he opened his bag, dug out a half a coconut shell, and went back up to the conductor, and he asked for his hot water. So they gave him this bowl of hot water and half this coconut shell. Went back to his seat, and he dug in his bag, and he took out some herbs and things, pinches of things, and he put them in this water and stirred up and drank it down. You know, everybody was looking at him. Everybody was wondering, what's the matter with this fellow? And finally, I just felt burned to speak to him. So I said, "Sir," I said, "you mind if I ask you a question or two?" "No," he said, "that's fine." I said, "I guess you realize that you're a little different than anybody else on this train. Everybody's noticing." I said, "What is it? Well, why are you different?" "Well, like you are." "Oh," he said, I'm trying to get closer to God. Trying to get closer to God. Well, it turned out as I visited with him, I found he was from a very rich family, businessman, Boston, who had everything heart could wish. He grew up in a mansion, but nothing satisfied his heart. Nothing satisfied his young heart. And the poor man thought that perhaps he could get closer to God by throwing off all these riches, denying himself of all these earthly things, and living so strange. He was a Jewish young man. And, oh, I said to him, "Sir, there is a way to God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.' There's only one way. No matter what you might do, no matter what struggles you may go through, no matter how you may punish yourself, there's only one way, dear friends, to have the forgiveness of sins. There's only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life." I don't know what happened to that dear young man. Never saw him again. But tonight, God loves you. God desires your blessing. God is beseeching that you would come in all your need, in all your distress, in all your death, find in him the forgiveness of sins. Find in him the joy and peace of knowing your sins forgiven, knowing that you have a home with Christ in glory when you leave this world. Oh, that's far better than all the world is offering. Far better once you have the Lord Jesus. You're going to say no. You want to do it your own way? And disaster. The Scripture says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof are the ways of death. Are you going the way tonight that seems right to you? That seems the best? You're getting your education. You're planning for the future in this world. What about the end? Where is it going to end? Dear friend, it'll only end in one of two places. It'll either be to be with Christ in glory because your sins have been washed in his precious blood, because you've received him as your Savior, or no matter how you might climb on the corporate ladder in this world or the high society of this world, it'll end in hell. It'll end in destruction. The end thereof are the ways of death. God warns you. There's warning after warning in this precious book that the soul that sinneth it shall die. Is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Are you ready to meet God? You can try as hard as you like to satisfy yourself in this world. What about eternity? You ready to meet God? Well, those that were indebted, those that were in distress, came to David and found relief. And oh, you can come to the Lord Jesus and find relief. There's one more. And everyone that was discontented. Are you really content? If you're content now in your sins, I hope you'll be discontented. I hope you'll realize tonight that there's no true joy in the pleasures of this world. There is. The Bible tells us there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. It's for a season. The end is death. That same verse in Proverbs that tells us there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, goes on to say, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Oh, man can cover up his condition by filling his life with laughter, with fun, with good times. But remember where it ends, dear friend. Remember where it ends. It's the end that counts. It's eternity that's before us. God is beseeching. Wouldn't you come and be saved? Wouldn't you receive the Lord Jesus tonight? You can do that right where you are. We don't ask you to come up front or to do anything. You can receive the Lord Jesus by faith in your heart right there on the seat where you are. God knows between you and the Lord Jesus. It's not between you and the preacher. It's a decision you must make between you and your God. Are you going to receive His salvation? Or are you going to say no thanks? Those who were discontented, they came to David and they found that relief. Just a little wee picture of the relief and the joy that's available to those that come to Christ. Oh, to experience the riches of His grace. Oh, the Bible speaks of, but God, it says in Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. For by grace are you saved. Oh, it's His grace that's calling. You're going to say no thank you? Perhaps you're thinking, well, some other time. I got a date for the thing tonight, and I'm not thinking about that stuff now. I'll think about it later, dear friend. It's dangerous. This may be your last opportunity. This may be the last time you ever hear the good news of the gospel. And God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't put off the salvation of your soul. Dangerous business. God's love is real. God is inviting you. He's commanding you, in fact. It says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He has appointed the day in which He will judge this world in righteousness by His man. Yes, the Lord Jesus is going to judge this world. In view of that, God says, He commands you to repent because He loves you. He doesn't want you to come under judgment. Dear friend, God is for you. You know, I think our natural minds, we tend to think that God is against us and we have to do something to appease Him, and we have to bring our good works and hope that He'll accept them and accept us into heaven. The work is done on Calvary's cross. There's nothing you can add to it. When the Lord Jesus said it is finished on Calvary's cross, it was finished. Can you add to a finished work? You'd only spoil it. Receive it. Accept it. It's for you. Many has received him, John chapter 1 tells us. Many has received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Have you received him? Have you believed? Oh, that's the question. What have you done with Christ? Never mind what you're doing with your life. That's important in its own place, yes. But the question tonight is, what have you done with the Lord Jesus? God's anointed, God's man. Have you received him? Do you have the forgiveness of sins? A little later on in this chapter, Saul says to his servants in verse 7, Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, "Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give you every one of you fields and vineyards, to make you captains of thousands and captains of hundreds?" I think Saul was saying this in a very mocking way. Oh, he said, will David make you rich in this world? Is he going to give you farms and riches and position? Give you to be captains? Is that what the Lord Jesus wants for you? Is that what he's going to do for you? Is he going to make you rich in this world? You know, there are people today that are saying, if you get saved, you get rich. If you get saved, God is going to prosper you in business and you'll be somebody in this world. I don't find that in the Scripture. But if you trust the Lord Jesus, he'll give you eternal life. He'll give you eternal life. Saul was mocking. He said, "Oh, dear, go to David. Is he going to make you rich? Is he going to give you earthly goods?" Nope, he's not. And that's true, he's not. God is going to give you eternal life if you'll trust the Savior. He'll give you riches untold in the glory. It says in Ephesians 2 that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that better than earthly riches? Isn't that better than farms and lands and jobs and positions? Oh, dear one, tonight, God wants to really bless you. Everything that you accumulate in this world, you'll have to leave it behind at best. And very likely to be a hindrance to the enjoyment of Christ. Don't look for great things in this world. We said to Barry, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Seek them not." Oh, but the Lord says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." That's the important thing. Whether you make a success of your career in this world or not, I'm not saying it's not important, don't get me wrong, but it's nothing compared to eternity, to the importance of knowing where you're going when you leave this world. You may acquire fame and riches, but you're going to leave it all behind. The only thing you can take with you when you leave this world, I believe, is what you've enjoyed of this blessed person that we've been speaking about, the Lord Jesus. If you're saved, you can take that with you and you can enjoy it forevermore. What a Savior. I want to turn to one more little portion in Luke's Gospel. The Gospels, we get the facts about the Lord Jesus. We had the foreshadows in the books of history. Luke chapter 4. Now the Lord Jesus had come the Lord of glory, the creator of everything, come into this world, become a babe in Bethlehem's manger. And here in this fourth chapter, he came. I think it was to Capernaum, let's see, Nazareth. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. You know, he was the author of that book. Isaiah wrote it down. God was the author. And here he was, came into Nazareth, and he took the book of Isaiah. He found the place. He knew where it was. He could have quoted it, I'm sure, without finding the place. But he found the place, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." We mentioned that the first David was the anointed one, the king. Here is the true king, the true anointed one, the Lord from heaven. And so he reads this scripture and applies to him, doesn't it? He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." To the poor. Thank God the gospel goes out to the poor. One of the poorest men we meet in the gospel, I believe, was that rich young man. He was rich in earthly goods. And he spoke to Jesus. And he wondered what good thing he could do. Perhaps he thought he would hear something about giving charity, or building a synagogue, or doing some grand thing. He said, "What good thing can I do to inherit eternal life?" He knew he had a need of something. Although he had riches untold, he had a need and he knew it. You know, he made a decision that day. It says he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. Oh, he could have gone away rejoicing. All his riches didn't give him joy of heart. I think he was the poorest man, perhaps, that we meet in the gospel. Although he had riches, he didn't have the Savior. He made a decision that those riches couldn't be parted with. So he traded, you might say, the Savior for riches. Oh, I feel burdened. If there's somebody here who's seeking the riches of this world and the fame, the gospel's preached to the poor. But if you're in your sins, dear friend, you're poor. The Lord said to those in Laodicea, you say you're rich and increased with good, but you don't know that you're poor. Poor in poverty. Without Christ, you're poor. Oh, you can have the riches of glory God is offering to you if you receive Christ. You can't give them to your sins. That would be a disaster. He wants to take you to his home in glory, to give you all the riches of heaven that you'll enjoy forevermore. When those riches, perhaps, that you're clinging to in your heart tonight will be rusting and molding away. Oh, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Take the place of the poor and come to Christ. He'll make you rich. He says there in Revelation, we'll take time to turn to it. He says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, the real riches. God is counseling you tonight. He's beseeching you tonight. He's calling tonight. Buy of him the true riches. What's the price? Oh, it's without money and without price. Oh, everyone that thirsts, he says, come ye to the waters, yea, come without money and without price. Yea, buy my wine and milk without money and without price. What a Savior. Is he yours? He loves you tonight. He wants to redeem you. Poor. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted. Well, I trust that you'll be brokenhearted regarding your sin. That's repentance. That's what Paul preached. No, he didn't preach good living. Paul didn't preach to join the church and to do the best you can to get to heaven. He preached repentance toward God. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the way of salvation. Repentance toward God. Then it goes on to say, and to preach deliverance to the captive. If you're without Christ, Satan has you captive. Captive to sin, he that committeth sin is a servant or a slave to sin, the Word of God says. Oh, to realize your condition before God. Satan blinds the mind, so that you don't realize your condition and need. But God says, I came to set the captives free. You're not saved, you're captive to sin. But there's deliverance. The door of heaven is open wide. Come to Christ. And recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. What a Savior. You know, all that came to the Lord Jesus in their need. All that came to the Lord Jesus feeling their need and their trouble, their captivity, their sickness. He blessed them all. He received them. He gave them sight. He gave them healing, blessing. And tonight he wants to give to you. He doesn't want to take from you, no. The Lord Jesus doesn't want you so that you can support the local church. He's not looking for you so you can be his slave, his servant. He's looking for you because he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. And he will. If you'll come. Won't you let him? I've often told this story because I've enjoyed it so much. There was a very poor widow woman. I think she lived in India. And there was a missionary that knew she was very poor, felt sorry for her, wanted to help her out. So he had some money he was going to give to her. He wanted to help her. So he came to her house and knocked on the door. You know, nobody came to the door. So he knocked again. Nobody came. He thought, that's strange, I'm sure she was home. Almost sure she's home. He knocked, and he knocked. Nobody came. Finally, he could wait no longer, and he went away. And after he was gone away, she crawled out from under the bed, thinking that here had been a bill collector. She wanted to take from her the money, what little she had, what very little she had. Oh, she only knew that at her door was one who wanted to help her, who wanted to bless her, and she wouldn't open the door. Behold, the Lord Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. He wants to bless you. Will you let him? Will you come tonight and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I come as a guilty sinner. Come in repentance. He'll save you. He'll bless you. He'll give you that peace and joy for which you've sought so long. Perhaps you've sought peace and joy, but you've never met the source of true peace and joy. He's knocking at your heart tonight. Will you invite him in? Will you say, yes, Lord Jesus, I come, take my sins away, save me. He'll do it. Time is nearly up. Just want to tell you one little story. A man in Newfoundland, I knew for many years. He used to come to the gospel tent twice a day, all the time it was there. He was always there. He always took tracts. He always took pamphlets, whatever we passed him, he read them. I thought, well, he must be saved. His name was Sid Boy. He was in his 80s. I assumed that since he had heard the gospel so many times, and since he had read so many gospel tracts, I assumed Sid must be a Christian. One day I was visiting there in the winter, and I knocked on his door, invited me in. He'd had some sorrow in his life that fall. His wife had passed away. And I came in, I sat down, he smiled, he said, see, I done it. And you know, this stupid fella here didn't know what he was talking about. I said, you done it, what'd you do? You know, he looked so hurt. Oh, he said, Cease, I done it. I still didn't understand what he was talking about. I said, Sid, tell me about it. What did you do? Oh, he said, I got down on my knees and I asked the Lord to save me, to wash my sins away. And he was so happy. I felt ashamed that I didn't right away know what he meant. But there was Sid, 82 years old. He came to Christ. He did it. He didn't put it off any longer. He had heard, like you, dozens and dozens of times the gospel. The Lord finally brought him to himself. He's with the Lord now. What a change. Another man in the same town, his name was also Boyd, his name was Roland. Mr. Lundeen visited Roland Boyd many times in his home. His wife Annie was saved. She's still living, happy in the Lord. But Roland, you know, he wanted to be saved. Oh, I've seen him with the tears rolling down his face when he heard the gospel. But you know, he just couldn't seem to take that step. He just couldn't say, yes, Lord, I come as a sinner. I know you did all the work. Year after year went by. He remained in his sin. Very friendly. Always invited you in. Glad to have you read the scriptures. But he was putting it off. And when he was 82 years old, one day nobody was visiting. Nobody was there. He was sitting in a lawn chair out in his yard. Showed me the very spot. He said, suddenly it seemed as if the Lord said to me, everything is done. You just have to receive it. He thought God had to do something else, you know. He always thought God was going to have to thunder down and he gets saved. But you know, that day, he received the Lord Jesus. Nobody was there to push him into it. It was the work of the Spirit of God. Is he working in your heart tonight? Receive him by faith. What a Savior. Oh, I tell you, Roland was a different man. I first heard about the fact that he was saved from an unsaved person. His life was so changed. His countenance was so changed that everybody in the whole town was saying, Roland got saved. Did you hear Roland got saved? Marvelous work of grace. And when I visited him, you just couldn't help it. The tears coming down your face. After all those years that Mr. Lundeen pleaded with him, and Mr. Ensign, and Mr. Pilkington, and many others, at last, the light broke through, and what a changed man. Oh, what a joy. There's a change. Oh, peace and joy.